Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening, and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 in the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 in the Word of God this evening. As we approach the Word of God tonight, Sunday nights are always a special time as we come together, and all of our teenagers are in here, college students, and our kids alike, and that's our nursery workers, which I absolutely praise the Lord for, and some of our younger kids. We're in here as a family this evening. And so I would ask our parents this tonight, in a service like this, it's a very special time, and it's a very dear time. And I would ask all the kids in the room tonight that you pay very close attention to the Word of God and what we're about to read. There's a section in here that is very serious that we're going to read about, that if we're not careful, we can approach the Lord's Supper as if, well, it's okay, you know, anybody can take it, and anybody can partake, and we come into the back, and Brother Dan, I praise the Lord for the hay being, was able to get them all out, and you know what, we're good, and you know, it's okay, they're young, or it's okay, they're not saved, but just let's just not worry about it. I really want to emphasize tonight that it is something that we ought to be very concerned about. It's not a time that we come in and just anyone can partake and anyone can come on in. Let's just have everybody in the neighborhood come in, all the little kids in the nursery. This is not a time that is really something that we want to take out of context, but keep it in context of the Word of God. And so this evening, what we're going to do before we partake in the Lord's Supper is we're going to learn a little bit about it. And this evening, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. So as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Once again, if your health doesn't allow you to, it's okay to be seated and to stay seated. But if you can this evening, could we look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11? And let's look at verse number 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26. The Bible says this: "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." For just the next couple of moments, look at the subject from the Word of God, the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you, Lord, for these songs that we just sang. Lord, it is amazing on a Sunday like this that we can concentrate on the amazing thought that truly there were those that wanted to worship you and really were excited to see you. But Father, not too long later, you headed down that road, and Father, you were crucified. Lord, why did you do that? Is the question that many in our world ask today. Why would you willingly give your life? And Father, we have the answers right here in the Word of God, and we're thankful that we do. Savior, we do want to stop tonight and just say thank you. Father, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. We can never repay you, Savior. Thank you. Lord, I ask that tonight during this service that we look at the Word of God and we take it to heart. And Father, we'd be ready to partake in this communion service this evening. Father, when we walk out these doors, Lord, it's a different feeling that we have after this. Father, we don't want to take it out of context and spiritualize it to a place where it's not. And Father, we also don't want to abuse it. Father, we want to do it your way. And Father, as revival's coming up, it's time, Savior, for us just to get scrubbed up once again. Father, that's time for us to put off the old man, to put off the sin. And Father, once again, put on your Spirit. Father, I ask, Lord, now that you'd give me the words to say. Father, meet with us right here. We love you, Father. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It truly is an amazing thought to think about. Centuries ago, Jesus, our Savior, gave His life for you and for me. What He did on Calvary can never be replaced. There's never another Jesus, can never be repaid. God sent His only begotten Son to die for you and for me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Often in our walk with our Savior, we forget just how great a God that you and I serve. Yes, we're in our devotions. Yes, we meditate on Him. Yes, we're faithful to church. Yes, we put our offering in. Yes, we serve in the nursery. Yes, we serve in the welcome center. Yes, we come in and we sing and we do specials. We open up the hymn book and boy, we partake. But how often do we stop and just concentrate on the amazing fact that we have a relationship with God Almighty? That you and I have a Savior that the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the Apostle Paul writing and reminding the church about several things that you and I need to put into context and that you and I need to be once again reminded of. In this passage of Scripture, we see first of all, if you'd like to take notes, you can. If not, just think about this. In this passage of Scripture, there was first of all, number one, a rebuke. There was a rebuke. Look at verse number 17 here of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse number 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame in them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." You see, this rebuke came when we come to this passage of Scripture. Paul begins to talk about the church at this time is taking what God had set up and they are abusing it. As time had gone on, many begin to misuse and they begin to take out of context and they begin to abuse what the Lord had several years set up for them. There were even those that were coming to what you and I would call a dinner on the grounds or perhaps even a potluck in the church, and they were bringing their food together and they were now calling it the Lord's Supper. And yet when they would go down the line, perhaps like a potluck or everybody brings the food and everybody goes and you take your plate and you dip out the okra or the macaroni and cheese or the steak or the chicken, you begin to get stuff. There were those that would begin to go through the line, and Paul rebukes them at those that would not allow others to partake in their food. "I don't like your status. I don't like your family tree. I don't like who you are." They begin to look at each other and there begin to be divisions in the church. God is never pleased with this attitude. God forbid, even in 2021, that you and I take the local church and mistreat others for not living up to the expectations that you and I believe they ought to have in their life. God forbid we ever hold somebody to a standard that we have set for ourselves that may not even come from the Word of God, or a standard that may be set on a preference that has no ties to the Word but is just personal for us, and then someone does not meet that and so we begin to look at them differently, or God forbid even treat them differently, and "I am above you," or "I am better than you are," or "you can't partake." And Paul begins to get into this rebuke. And it's really a reminder for you and I today that although we are on Country Club Road, you and I are not part of a country club. We are the church physically coming together to worship and to praise and to sing and to exalt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not for you and I to come and to have a clique. And you and I, we don't pay dues here at Cross Point Baptist Church. We give our tithes and offerings willingly. We give back to God what is already His, just the portion of what He has bestowed to you and I. And yet, it's a sad thing around the globe today that there are many treating the local church as if they own it, as if I'm going to give my offerings, but there's going to be strings attached. I'm going to give my tithes, but I'm going to have a say. I want to worship the way I want to worship. I want to do it the way I want to do it. And I don't want this. I don't want to serve here. I want to be exalted. I want to be out front. And I want to be praised. And I, and friend, before you know it, we are not the body of Christ coming together. We are just a clique of people calling ourselves Christians, doing it the way that we want to do it. God forbid, friend, we have the very Word of God that has laid out for us how He wants to be worshiped, how He ought to be worshiped, how He ought to be praised, and how the preaching of God's Word must be manifest, must go forth. It must have priority. And when you and I as the church come together and comprehend that this is our foundation, no one family, no one member, no one person, no, the very person of Jesus Christ, and this Word, this Bible, this inerrant, infallible Scripture, when that is our foundation, friend, then we're not doing it the way we want. We're doing it the way that it ought to be done. And that's God's way. And Paul begins to come in and he gives this rebuke. He says here in verse number 23, would you look at it with me? He says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now pause right here for just a moment. Paul begins verse number 23, "For I..." The presence of this emphatic pronoun leads that Paul had received a personal revelation from the Lord on this matter. Paul has been trained. There are other references in Scripture that suggest that Paul had God speaking to him and he had that training. Acts chapter number 18 and Acts 22 and Acts 23 and Galatians chapter number 1 and on and on and on. Paul had the resume, he had the training to step in and begin to fix what these people had broken. And isn't it just like us as individuals to begin to think that we have priority or that we have it our way or that we want it just right? And if we don't, then we get an attitude or we get upset or we're just going to pout. And Paul begins to come in and say, look, you have taken what God has set up simply for us and you have added much to it. The sad thing is today is in the society that we live in, the culture we live in, it's amazing that churches have done the exact same thing with the Lord's Supper today. There are many that fight and go back and forth and argue and blog about whether it's close or whether it's closed or whether it's this or whether it's that or it's one time a month or one time a year or once a quarter or we do it on a Tuesday night and we do it on a Wednesday night and we do it on Palm Sunday and so forth and so on. And it's amazing that we have a passage of Scripture where Paul steps in and says, look, you got to stop fighting over this. You got to stop. Let me just lay it out clearly for you. Now we fast forward 2,000 years and isn't it amazing that we are doing the exact same thing? You see, friend, the tactics of Satan, they haven't changed. He uses the same weapons. He knows, you ready for this? If he can split us in here, we're going to fall apart. He knows if he attacks from the outside, what's it going to do? It's going to bring us together. We're going to arm in arm. Let's do it. I got your back. You got mine. We got the Holy Spirit. Lead the way. Let's charge the gates of hell together. Satan knows if he attacks from out there in, that's going to bring unity in the church. So what does he do? He always begins to bring those little fractures in the local church over the really little things, the small things, the minute things. The things when it comes to eternity, honestly, does not matter, not even 1%. Zero. Does not matter. But he knows if we can start arguing over the little things, that if he can just get that crank, if he can just get his foot in that back door with one attitude, with one phone call, with one insinuation, that friend, I'm here to tell you, Crosspoint could be no different than the other thousands of churches out there that have been split, not over philosophy, not over theology, but really over methodology or I wanting it my way. Friend, God forbid that ever happened here. May we be strong, strong in a foundation, strong in the Lord. You see, when Paul starts this passage of Scripture, he begins with a rebuke. But then we see, secondly, a remembrance. Look with me at verse number 23, if you would please. The Bible says this: "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now watch very carefully. Verse number 24. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Say, Pastor, what are we remembering? We're remembering tonight we take that little bread. His body was broken. The book of Mark recalls and records it for us like this. When they had mocked him, talking about Jesus, they took off the purple from him and put his clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave him a drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. When they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and was numbered with his transgressors. We partake of the bread, we're remembering that it should have been you and I on that cross. We take that bread, we're remembering that Jesus' body, it truly was broken for you and I. We think of the body of Jesus Christ that received 39 lashes upon his body, a crown of thorns that were placed into his head, the pain and the agony, the beaten face of being blindfolded and buffeted and beat and hit in a cross, the mockery that he took, his beard plucked from his face, the nails that were placed into his hands, into his feet, the agony of pulling up on a cross, breath after breath, his body suffocating to death as he gasped for air, the spear in his side, the agony of looking down off the cross and seeing his mom, who loved him so, standing there. Why'd he do it? Did it for you and he did it for me. Isaiah said it like this: "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." You see, it's an amazing thought as we partake in the Lord's Supper that here is our God. And his body was broken. And Paul comes in and begins to say, "Do you not understand and comprehend what God did for you?" And what we concentrate on, the foolishness of this world to take food from others, and I'm higher in society than you are. No, think about his body that was broken. Not only do we see the bread in this passage of Scripture, but we also see the blood. Would you look with me at verse number 25? "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup, the New Testament, and my blood, this do as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." The precious blood of Jesus was all that it took. The perfect Lamb of God was slain. John chapter 1 and verse number 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. But if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. This blood was shed, but why was it shed? It was shed to save us. It was shed to cover our sins. May I say this even? It was shed for everyone. No one is left out in the gospel message. There are not those that were chosen to be saved and then those who were chosen to go to hell. No, his blood cleanseth us from all sin. And tonight, when we think about the precious blood that was shed on Calvary, when we think about our Savior stretching out his arms, when we think about him calling out, "It is finished," when we think about what he did for you and for I, it is a time for us to stop and simply remember and then say this, "Lord, thank you. Lord, I just want to say thank you." You see, there is a rebuke and a remembrance. For just a moment, I want us to think about the ramification. You see, it doesn't stop here. Paul didn't just say remember, but he continues to go on. I want us to look here at verse number 29, if you would. Look at verse number 29. The Bible says this. Let's back up. Let's go to verse number 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now skip to verse number 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause," watch very carefully, "many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And if you don't think this is serious, this is as serious as it gets. In verse number 27, Paul demands that anyone partaking Lord's Supper be fit moral and in a spiritual condition. To partake of the supper in an unworthy manner is a reference to the conditions described here in this passage of Scripture. One who consumes this supper in a spirit of fakeness or in a spirit of greed or gluttony contradicts the purpose of Christ's self-offering and shares this meal, as the Bible says, in an unworthy manner. Friend, you have to understand tonight, this is not just for anyone. We don't come in here this evening and just say, "Well, you know what, the Lord overlooks it and we're okay." God has set it up. Look, tonight, let's be super clear. We're not doing it the way that Pastor Shepherd wants to do it. We're getting back to the Word of God. When we look at this passage of Scripture, it's not just anybody. "Well, if you're not saved, that's okay. God understands your heart." No, the Bible specifically is talking to the saved here. "Well, you know, I know I'm not right, and I got some bitterness in my heart, and I really haven't really forgiven them. And, you know, I've been looking at some things online that I shouldn't be looking at. And, you know, I've been letting some things fly from my mouth that I shouldn't. But you know what? God understands it. It's okay. And I don't want to be embarrassed in front of all my friends and families that are here tonight. So, you know what, God? You know my heart, you know. We'll get it right later." No, understand this. If there are those even in this room this evening, now watch very carefully, that partake in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, the Bible is very clear here that there are those that will be sick. Their health will be stricken. There are those in this passage of Scripture, watch, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you." You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know about that. I mean, what's going to happen? Am I going to get really sick?" That's up to the Lord. See, I don't pick and choose. It's not up to a deacon. It's not up to a Sunday school teacher, a mom, or a dad. This is up to God Almighty. That there are those that really could get very, very sick. It goes further than that and says this is passage of Scripture, "and many sleep." This is how serious it gets. There are those that the Bible describes here, sleep in the Word of God is death in the life of a Christian. There are those that will come and make mockery of what God has done, maybe not a fist in the air, not maybe outwardly, but inwardly. And there are those that may even pass away, go on, slip into eternity. Well, Pastor Shepherd, I'll be honest with you. Now, I've heard about the Lord's Supper and I've partaken before, but I mean, when you put it like that, that there are going to be those that maybe aren't right with God and they take it in an unworthy manner. Now watch. So let me ask you this, Pastor. Who in their right mind is even going to take a chance on taking the Lord's Supper tonight? Like, I mean, we better be better off just, I mean, pretending like we're going to take it, but just keep that little cup and bread just sealed. I mean, I don't want to take a chance on, I mean, good grief, COVID-19 is still around. I want to take a chance on that. I don't want to take a chance on, you know, death. I mean, who would take it? You see, we have to comprehend tonight that this is a time for you and I to examine our hearts and our lives. God does know our heart. God does see you and I. God does know the inward parts of our lives. It's not a time to say, well, good grief, I think I'll just skip out. No, thank you. No, it's not that time. Well, Paul begins to write here. Look with me at verse number 28. He says this, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse number 31. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse number 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It's you and I taking and examining ourselves. It's you and I pausing for a moment, as the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. Watch for the time. This is a benefit for you and I. It's wonderful that we get to praise Him. It's wonderful that we get to think about Him, His body that was broken, the when we take the juice, the blood that was spilled, but it's a time for you and I to stop and to say, guess what? 1 John 1:9, it's true, Lord. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a time this evening that we get to talk to Him. It's a time once and for all to say, you know what, Lord? For a long time, I've been hanging on to this sin. Lord, I know I've talked to you about it many times. But Lord, tonight I'm just telling you, I'm sorry. I'm done. Lord, I've hung on to this unforgiveness too long. This bitterness, this strife. I'm done, Lord. This contentment, this awfulness of my sin, this habitual sin, this habit that's in my life. God, I'm done. This attitude. This arrogancy. Lord, I'm giving it to you tonight. Forgive me. See, this evening we get to concentrate on Him. But also it's a time for us to scrub up. It's a time for us to get right with Him. It's an incredible moment, Cross Point Baptist family, for us to say, you know what, Lord? Would you forgive me? Please, God, my heart and my life, I give it to you. Teenagers, kids, would you look up here for just a moment? This is a time, young person, that you in your life say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Well, Pastor, what if I'm forgetting something in my life and it's something I just forgot that I did and I've got it in there? God knows our heart. Ask for the Lord to bring it to remembrance. And when He does, just ask, Lord, I repent of this. I turn from it. Maybe this evening, God, I just ask the things that I can't remember, the times that I've been away from you. Lord, I'm sorry. Know my heart. It's a time for you and I to ask Him to reveal those moments in our life. In just a moment, the organist is going to come. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask us this evening to take this invitation, maybe as serious as we have ever taken it. I'm going to be up front, and maybe some of my family members might join me. There's a side over here if you'd like to pray. There's lots of room over here if you'd like to, if you'd like to come. And if you can't kneel and you'd like to sit on the front row, sit on the front row. If you'd like to sit back down right in your pew this evening, then I'm going to ask you to do that. Now, church, tune in. I've brought us through this passage of Scripture, and I've asked the Lord all week to give me the words to say. I want to add this evening tonight, this is not a time for us to judge each other. This is not a time that we go around and we're going to be looking who's taking, who's not partaking. Well, I know why they're not partaking. It is none of our business. That is up to an individual and God. Friend, if you took that juice tonight and you picked it up on the way in and you have it, then you'd like to partake, that is between you and the Lord. We are not walking around tonight taking names. This is between us. This evening, we're going to take time and we're going to get things right with God. Friend, I am pleading with you this evening. Partake in this incredible invitation. Do you have aught with another brother or sister? It's time to put it aside. You've been holding on to something. So it's time. Tonight is the night that we lay it at his feet. Let's make this night about him.